This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 167 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flip resources into our Flipboard magazine over the past 2 weeks. In this episode, we have four trends that we will share, and we have a recommended reading that goes along with each of these trends. We end the episode by peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. Abby, start us off by talking about our four trends and sharing our four recommended readings.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, we have four trends, three of which I think most people will be very familiar with, one of which is new, and we'll explain why it kind of formed its own trend. Yes, so we looked at everything. We flipped articles that we thought were of interest to people in instructional design and educational technology into our Flipboard magazine. And from the past 2 weeks, we've distilled these four trends. Number one, teaching and learning online. We saw articles about why moving to online instruction will not reduce costs for education. We saw an article on providing students with a sense of connectedness, engaging students. An article from Inside Higher Ed that supported the idea that better teaching is going to minimize cheating, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, even regardless of the venue one uses. Transition from video learning to other forms of instruction. For example, virtual learning, using a virtual environment. We saw intentional online program design. We saw content curation versus original content, kind of a discussion of how much one should have of both of those things in any one online course, and providing teachers with training to improve their own online offerings. Our recommended read in this area is What Incoming First-Year Students Want Online Learning to Be, by James M. Quirk for Educause Review. And again, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing any authors' names. This is a really interesting read in Educause. And Tim, I was smiling. We were very proud of how Dr. Kirk worked with his, we assume, a member of the family, because at the end of the article, it says that the article was authored by James M. Quirk and James P. Quirk. And the pair worked together. One of them is a graduating senior from high school. The other is a researcher in our field. And they were looking at what high school seniors are looking for in online instruction as they become college freshmen, as they enter into universities and colleges. It's a very interesting read. They did a fantastic job writing up what they discovered. And we highly recommend this. Number two, hardware and software. Well, TikTok was all over the news in the last week or so.
All over the news.
Right? Intrigue. There's a lot of intrigue. Make of that what you will, but as people who are involved in educational technology, and we introduced TikTok to you, our listeners, a couple of years ago when it first came out, it's interesting to see the controversy that it has engendered. So yes, there were a number of things going on, and I keep sort of avoiding making a statement as to what those things were, because there's just so many different things going on with TikTok.
Yeah, let's just say there's intrigue.
There's intrigue. Okay, and so more specifically in hardware and software, we also saw that YouTube is going to stop allowing viewers to help creators with subtitles and captions. Mostly, according to YouTube itself, mostly because they weren't getting a lot of contributions from people. So they're just sort of retiring that particular capability. We saw also, again, with great fondness, I say that we saw more Google augmented reality animals. They've introduced a number of insects that one can now see in AR using a phone and a Chrome browser. A lot of fun, actually. It really is, as we've mentioned earlier. Our recommended read here, though, is more serious. Back to School, Gear for Teachers Who Want to Up Their Online Game by David Gewurz for DIY IT on ZDNet. And this is a really great list, a kind of a shopping list of equipment that if you're teaching online, if you're an online instructor, these are things that you might want to consider obtaining to kind of up your personal game, as he says, to up their online game. It includes things like microphones and headphones and things. And I think, Tim, you and I resonate with his list, right? Because many of those items are things that we are currently using ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's trend number two, hardware, software. Trend number three, probably not a surprise to anyone if they look at the calendar, reopening schools. We see a number of reflections on the post-COVID-19 education experience in general. We saw a really good report on India, on how Indian schools reopened and how they reflect on that process. We saw studies of children and COVID generally, and how the going back to school worked out in a number of different countries. And speaking of comparisons of other countries to each other, the recommended read here is How Other Countries Reopened Schools During COVID-19 and What the U.S. Could Learn by Bob Spires for Fast Company. And this is a comparison of four countries that took very different approaches, a kind of a synthesis at the end of saying he actually gives these four countries kind of a grade and a articulated score for what they did how they did it. And it is a fascinating read. I think it's a good recommendation because we, well, of course, I think it's a good recommendation. Yeah. I'm one of the people recommending it. it's not a long read. It's a few minutes long, and it does give one a good overview of different possible approaches.
And it's just fun to, I guess, fun. I shouldn't use the word fun, but it's interesting to read the letter grades he gives.
Very interesting to see why and how he gives these letter grades. The four countries were Japan, Uruguay, Sweden, and
Israel. Did you say Israel?
Thank you. Yes, it was Israel.
Don't spoil it, though. Make them read it. Right. Don't give the letter grades.
You'll have to go look at it to see the grades themselves, but they were very different approaches at different times. And
very different grades.
And very different results. Yeah. So, yes. Okay. So number four, the trend number four is actually a new trend, and it's kind of an offshoot of teaching and learning online. We saw very specifically a number of articles on blended learning, or what is being called high flex learning. High flex being hybrid flexible, which is really just another way of saying blended learning, which has been around for quite a while. The articles about blended learning and introducing the high flex model were many and varied, but they are not necessarily new. One article that we flipped in actually notes that it was originally published in 2010, and good of it to do so. And it had some updates for updated technology, but the basic strategy is one that we've known for at least 20 years. The idea of a blended learning model where one puts a portion of the course online and a portion of the course in a face-to-face environment. And that this allows for this tremendous flexibility in terms of providing the instructional content and activities. Well, if this is new for you, this is the recommended read. How High Flex Courses Are Gaining Popularity in Higher Ed by Ellen Ullman for Tech and Learning University. It's a thorough description of what high flex learning is and how high flex learning and blended learning they're essentially the same thing, but how they work. And those are our four trends and our four recommended readings, Tim.
Thanks, Abby. Now we peer into the crystal ball, and Abby and I, before we get on air, we talk about the trends that we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. And
yes.
Again, if you followed us for any length of time, you're probably going to be able to guess a few of them, right?
Well,
you know, yes. And we have some new ones, but
well, we do
teaching and learning online. Right.
Teaching and learning online, hardware and software. right? Mm-hmm. We're going to see a number of those. We're going to see, because of this time of year and because of what's going on, we're going to see a lot more about reopening schools, reopening K-12 schools, and reopening universities and colleges.
Right. And also monitoring what we're going to find, monitoring of schools too, as they reopen as well.
Right. And reflections from people about what happened as they reopened, because some schools are actually open now.
Right.
So we're going to see a number of those kind of articles, that kind of reporting. But we also think that we're going to see a number of articles that go along that blended or high flex idea. We're going to see a lot of established online teaching strategies revisited and potentially rebranded. I don't see any problem with rebranding these kind of things. It's kind of the cyclical nature of design in general. But it is something to watch out for is what great idea do we have that we actually we're revisiting from previous good applications of this idea. Also, we suspect that we're going to see a lot more about supporting instructors in learning how to design good instruction. A combination of both, here's a shopping list of things you need at home, and we expect to see that for students as well, what you need at home if you're a remote learner in terms of tools. But we also expect to see more about opportunities, resources, and support that instructors can take advantage of to learn more about teaching online.
Yeah. And I think we also mentioned along that same line, resources for online course designers too.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see resources for those who may not teach online, but are help in the design process.
Helping in the design process. Very good point. Yes, we're going to see a lot more about this strategically. And about I think now that you mention it, Tim, I think that we're going to see more about the collaboration.
Right.
We perennially see that, you know, the mm-hmm. collaboration between a faculty member and a teacher and an online instructional designer, someone who's specifically designing the course for someone or producing it. But we're going to see more about that collaboration.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I think it's a wonderful thing to be looking forward to. But I think that's what we're seeing in the crystal ball right now.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 167 of our podcast. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can find the recommended readings for this episode and listen to past episodes of our podcast by visiting our website at trendsandissues.com. Our next episode will air on August 18th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green.